Om sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvinavati tamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Okay. We're on page 116. 116, and I think we're at Udyantam. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sixth one down. Udyantam Chandramasam. Right? Who wants to start?
I could start then.
Okay.
Udyantam Chandramasam Prikshasva. So, Udyantam is from Udya, which is the present participle active for Udi, which means, so that would be, is that right? So rising. Mm-hmm. And then Chandramasam is the accusative singular for the substantive Chandramas. And Prekshasva is the sva is the second person imperative, I think. Mm-hmm. And then Iksha is to see. Mm-hmm. And then so pra is normally, when you see words with pra, are they normally just the prepositional words?
It's a preposition, but the pra can give emphasis,
right?
Kind of like Susan may see well, or can it can just keep the same meaning. Yeah.
So may you see the rising.
Yeah, you could just say see the rising sun.
See
the rising sun.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or look at the rising sun.
Yeah.
Moon, yeah.
A moon.
Moon.
Yeah, look at the rising moon.
Right.
Yeah. Any problems?
No, that was fairly straightforward. You okay with that one?
Mm-hmm. Actually, the first word, uyantam, that was a present.
It's from the
active participle. Okay.
From e with the preposition upasarga ut. Ut plus e is udi. And then it just climbs like jagat, like a present participle.
Okay.
So accusative singular.
Accusative singular of udyat, which is the...
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Tamo bir nabho vyapyate. Okay. So vyapyate is permeates.
Pervades, permeates, yeah. Covers.
Mm-hmm. So vyapyate, the sense is...
Is permeated, it's in the passive.
Passive third
yeah.
person, right?
Yeah, passive third person. And then...
And the substantive, sorry.
Nabaha is from nabas. Nabos, rather, which is...
Nabas.
Neuter nominative.
Mm-hmm.
Nabas, right.
Nabas,
right. So it's a neuter nominative, meaning the sky. And then tamobhir is tritiya, tamobhi. So that's darkness.
And it's usually put in the plural.
Yeah, that's what
it's
that
not.
The only
we won't
thing
say
that
darknesses. They'll say tamobhi, but we in English we just say by darkness.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically the sky is permeated with darkness.
It's covered by darkness.
Correct.
Yeah, whatever you want to say. Vyap is the verb there, vyap.
Okay, yeah, we're looking for the substantive there.
V is the upasarga.
So V is the upasarga and...
Op.
V plus up.
Yeah. What does upasarga mean?
Preposition.
Op, and op is the... So op is what really means pervading.
To pervade, to cover.
And so the V is again like pra, just implying...
Well, op means to... obtain or to gain.
Mm-hmm.
V means to separate.
Oh.
You know, so the two put together have that sense of provision.
So
to separate, to divide.
And if we were to look this up in the dictionary, would we look up op?
In this, in Bhandarkar, you probably would look up op with V. In the Optes dictionary, you would just look up vyap because they will include the preposition in the dhatu when you're in terms of the dictionary.
Opte does.
Opte, but this usually doesn't.
Right.
Yeah, this you usually have to look up the verb.
Okay.
So unless he's looking at I suppose he does it that way. Yeah, op with V, to cover. In Vedanta, we use it, the word vyapti a lot for meaning pervading. You know, but it means covering, pervading, permeating, as you said. But we kind of often use it just it pervades, the pervader and the pervaded.
Usually associated with Vishnu.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And so the substantive and the tamopi in Nabha is tamas and nabhas, right?
And in the vyoma bhag vyapta.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody okay with this one?
Yeah.
Okay, Tara, you gonna try?
All right, I'll give it a shot. But I'm nervous and I don't think I recognize anything. I think we've all been there.
I couldn't figure this one out. Tell you the truth.
Okay. Vasasi parihite kanyaya. So. I really don't. That is looking familiar, but I don't know. Okay, so
ask questions.
All right, so
like, what is kanyami?
Okay, what is kanyami?
It means girl or daughter.
Oh yes, okay, girl. And so, so it's a feminine noun, and so I don't even know my declension, but. Kanyaya, that would be.
Is it kanyaya or kanyaya?
Well, it's kanyaya. The word is kanya. And kanyaya. Who knows what is kanyaya?
Kanyaya is the instrumental singular.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's one of the only forms where a kanya is shortened.
Yeah, that's right.
Almost the whole rest of the declension, except for two other places. It's the kanya, it's the long ah,
the four endings. Yeah, I thought it was
like kanya yaha. No, kanya yaha is an instrumental singular. But there's this kanya yaha, you know, in the ablative and the genitive.
Yeah.
But kanya ya, for the instrumental. So another thing you can do that's kind of fun, like, Tara, say you don't know, say, well, I don't really know what that case is. Then guess.
Okay.
Just try guessing.
Okay.
Because of all of it, what would it most likely be? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's no going to be no Sunday. So of all of the choices, what and the substantive is kanya.
Yeah.
What would it most likely be? Mm-hmm. And then.
So often along ah, without any visarga is instrumental.
Kanya. Yeah.
What is the plural nominative of
kanya?
Yeah.
Plural is kanya.
Okay.
Kanya,
so
kanya, kanya.
First.
But there's no visarga there.
Right.
And it's at the end,
right.
So it's not like a decided drop.
Right.
So,
okay,
so far, so good.
Through the girl. So the second word must be a verb, or it looks like it could be pari. So pari is a prefix, isn't it? Is pari a prefix for a verb?
Usually.
What do you have as your word there?
Pari hite.
Do you all have parihite?
Mm-hmm.
Mine looks like frite. I know what it means. Parihita, it's even here.
It doesn't make any sense to me, though.
You know why? Because I'll tell you what you all probably missed. Because I kind of took a moment myself. It's dual. From vasas. Vasasi.
That's dual also. That's what I couldn't figure out.
Past passive participle. Parihita is past passive participle.
Yes, but I thought it was, since it was a PPP, I thought it was an allocative, and I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on.
It's dual. Palampale palani. Vasis is neuter, right? Vasis is neuter. So vasasi is the dual.
Yeah, vasasi I got is the dual.
Oh, that's good. But you got neuter dual?
Nominative or accusative.
Yeah, but say it's neuter dual, and then palampale palani. Past passive participle, parihita.
Palay.
Palay.
Oh, is that sneaky?
Palay.
So it's the dual.
The two claws. Parihita means to wear, right? Are worn by the girl.
What was the first word?
Buffus means cloth.
Cloth.
So it's neuter. Nominative dual. What a bummer.
Can I also get Ganya Ya? Have we done, like when we did Shala?
We've done it. Shala Ya.
And then Shala Ya with a, so yeah, the Shala.
Shala becomes A. Right, Shala becomes A, becomes Shale, adds
yeah.
A.
Yeah, and so that's exactly the same as Shala.
And if you break down the declension, the feminine declension in the instrumental, Shala becomes Shale plus A, Shala Ya.
Where are we talking about?
Declining the feminine A ending nouns.
Oh, the A ending.
How do you get that A in there? Shala becomes Shale plus A, Shala Ya.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Does everybody see that that's a PPP? That hitte is a past passive participle of da. Da hitte. Da means to bear, to hold. Yeah. So putti hitte means to hold all the way around.
Yeah, da. It's come from da. I mean, I saw that it was derived from da, but I couldn't.
I have no reason for it, just like some of the. Some of the past passive participles, like taking a double na and that type of thing, they're unusual forms. You just have to you have to memorize this, that da hitta is this past passive participle form. I don't know another reason. I don't know that there's not any overarching sutra that says da goes to ha.
So it falls in the category of unusual forms.
Yeah, da goes to hitta. There's no, I said there's no overarching sutra.
Right, no, I hear you.
Yeah. So, so you have to memorize it. And it's the thing is, this da is very common. Even in Vedanta, it's very common.
Wow. And that's da, that's an aspirate.
Aspirate dental da with long a.
Oh,
dharan.
To hold, dharan kar bear or,
Or hold or bear.
Right.
Yeah. Very
so
common.
It's the two cloths that are worn by the girl?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
okay, the two cloths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one kept me up at night.
Wow. Oh, I have a short one. Shreyase yatute. So Shreyase is the singular, dative singular for Shreyas, which means superior. I did these few sentences, you can tell. And then yatate is yatate from yat to strive. So yatate is the first person passive.
No, yatate is just adnanita, present tense.
Oh, adnanita, present tense. Right, so it is superior to strive?
No. Shreyas, take Shreyas as even though it does have that sense of superior, it's usually not used like that. It's usually used that which is liberation. Shreyas is a synonym for liberation, for moksha, also for that which is the most auspicious. So you just have to make a note that Shreyas is often used in that way. So you could take this, he or she strives for moksha, for liberation. He strives for that which is the best or the most auspicious in life, that type of thing.
Right. Okay. And so one definition is prosperity. So
yeah,
I would
but usually that's prayas, you know.
But yeah, I would think it would be prayas.
So prosperity is not the best for shreyas, but you can make a note of it for in some context. It usually has the sense of that was the most auspicious, that which is the best. And maybe they're thinking prosperity is the most auspicious. In Vedanta, you know, it's often going to mean moksha, or the most.
Prayas
would be prosperity or wealth or riches. The farthest that we can achieve in terms of pleasure in the world is prayas, and shreyas is absolute good.
Mm-hmm.
So you could even say he strives for the absolute good.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah. But keep that other meaning also in mind.
Okay, so breaking the sundays, so this would be by the wise or by the wise one, and then Upadishto is a PPP, I believe, schooled or taught, and the nominative masculine, and I think it's a Bahuvrihi describing Dasharato, which is in the nominative masculine.
Why would it be this? So if you say Vidvadbihi, mm-hmm. Upadishta.
Oh, no, it isn't. Yeah. You're right. Because it's declined.
Yeah.
But Upadishto is in the nominative masculine, so it is adjectival to Dasharata.
That's right.
Okay. And then Yajnam is in the accusative, and Aharat is the imperfect third person. So I had Dasharata perform the ritual taught by the wise ones.
Now, who are you? You're having the Upadisha adjectival to Dasharata, right?
Yeah.
So the way you said it sounds like the ritual was taught, but Dasharata taught by the wise. Yeah.
Perform the ritual.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I think I want to go through and just get the cases. The first one was instrumental plural for vidvas. Was that the stanza?
Yes, vidvas is the stanza.
And then in the second, the upadishtaha.
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 Yeah,
Upadishtaha is, so the substantive there is
Ata.
Is
Upa, what it, well, Upa plus
Upadish.
Upadish.
Plus Ta. What form is it? Upadishtha.
It's a PPP.
Right. Dish plus the dental Ta. Often the Shakara, you know, the Shankara, the sibilant, the palatal Shakara. When it comes with the takara, the dental ta, the past passive participle, will change to sh. The sh will change to sh, and then the dental ta changes to ta.
Okay.
So that ishta is a common, right? So upadishta.
So the substantive is upadish.
Upadish plus ta, upadishta. Upadish with a shankara sha. Upadish. Upadish plus ta. Mm-hmm. Upadishta.
And so the declension there, the PPP is, so the form is.
It's masculine. Because it's adjectival now to.
Dasharata. So it's a nominative singular?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Dasharata is nominative singular, mm-hmm. and then Yajnam is accusative singular, and Aharat. Aharat is to do?
Sacrifice or perform?
Apasri. And then, it's past tense, but that the akara that comes between the upasarga and the hra just makes a plus a still a. So Aharat. Because the root is hra plus a to perform. Like to perform a ritual, to lay out a ritual. So Aharat is past tense.
Okay.
And Vidva means, you know, the wise or the learned. Wise or learned in whatever the subject matter is. Everybody okay? Mm-hmm. You okay, Tara?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go then.
Himena Vakshasi Tadithaha Kichako Muhmat.
What's the last line?
Is that right? Himena?
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Oops.
I thought, oh my God, did I miss a sound?
So, the first word, which I don't know what it means, looks like a either masculine or neuter instrumental.
Bhima is the name of a person.
Okay, so Bhima. So by with through Bhima. Instrumental singular. Bakshasi. Wow, that's familiar. I can't remember. What is that? That's a noun also, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Who knows Bakshas?
It's breast. It's ascending.
It's ascending. So Bakshas. Is it feminine? No.
It's neuter.
It's neuter, okay.
E. C N E E N U?
Yeah, it's still.
Bakshas. Page 4.
Bakshas. It is.
Saptami.
Oh, okay. So it is genitive?
Saptami.
Saptami is locative. Alright, so it's locative, and it's locative singular.
Good.
And next one is that a PPP?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know what it means. Oh, maybe we have a Sunday there even.
No, you're right.
Okay, it's just all, okay. So it is, looks like nominative singular for the PPP.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? Where is that from?
Nose.
Fit.
Fit. What's the verb?
I don't know. I couldn't look
at it.
Yes.
Tad. To a point here.
Uh-huh.
Tenth gunner roots.
Is this a tenth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tadi yati. Tenth gunner roots will keep whatever change in the PPP. It'll keep whatever change the root goes through in order to form the base. Like, for instance, tad is short of. But if I were to conjugate it, it would be tadiyati. So ted becomes tad. Chur is another example. Chur means to steal. Choriyati. So when you make a PPP out of a tenth gunner root, you keep that change and add itta. The takara is always going to take an e. Everybody know that? So often when you're forming a past passive participle, you just add the ta. There's a lot of exceptions, right? So in forming a past passive participle, you can form it add a ta, which will sundi in many different ways. Or you can add itta, right? So a lot of roots take itta, short e, itta. In the PPP, tenth gunna, it always takes itta. A tenth gunna root will always take itta, and the root will go through whatever changes it goes through in just the in the present tense. Like if chur to steal becomes choriyati, it would be chorita. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Tad would become tadita.
So the change that the root undergoes to form the present stem.
Yes, like
those
guna.
Those changes are maintained.
That's right. If it takes guna, that's going to be, it'll keep that and then it'll take the itta affix. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So here, do you see it? And you see it here. I'm pointing it out because here we have tud, short of, which means to hit or to strike.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it becomes tadita. Why does it become tadita? Well, that's how a tenth gunna roots are different than all of the others. They kind of beat, go to their own drummer. So this is one of the things to note about a tenth gunna. And another thing you can do, in fact, is, you know, in your Antoine,
mm-hmm.
go to the back. Have you been to the back of the Antoine where they have the whole list of verbs? It looks like this chart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You can just run your finger down looking for tenth gunna roots and see if there's, and go to the past passive participle. And you can just really notice, not just with tenth gunna roots, but with all of the different roots, notice that how those changes take place and how the tenth gunna kind of stands out in a sense.
Well, this is very useful.
It's very useful for just recognition, you know. And if you have volume two also has it arranged a little differently. I think it may have it even arranged by gunna.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's just to kind of do on your own. Yeah. For instance, go to one page 128.
Mm-hmm. I see. There it is.
You see, there's Ted. Go down to Tool. You see Tool? It's
yep.
A few down.
All 10. Awesome.
Toliati, Tolita. Now even more. Go all the way across. Let's go up to Ted. Do you see on page 128? Ted? Everyone there?
Third one down.
Yeah, third one
mm-hmm.
down in 128. Mm. Tadiyati, because most tenth gunna roots are Ubayapada, right? Tadiyate keeps the stem change. Tadita. Now look at the indeclinable past participle. Tadiyitwa. It even keeps the aya affix. Tadiyitwa and tadiyitum for those two. See that?
Uh-huh.
I'll point those things out too, but this is for now past, passive, participle.
So interclinable past participle tara is what we call a gerund.
The gerund.
Oh, okay.
So tadi yaptva.
What do you call infinitive? Do you call the infinitive perfect infinitive?
Infinitive.
Okay. Infinitive. So you see tadi yitva and tadi yitvum from tadi, so that is they even keep that.
The aya, which is the characteristic of the tenth guna.
That's right.
That's what we were talking about, the causative's name of aya. And
right.
Well, the causative also looks like a tenth, right?
Yeah.
So it's a causative.
Causal. It means you cause somebody to do something. Something, you know. So look at tool, same thing. Toli yati te, toli te, toli yitwa, toli yitum.
Right, right, right.
Okay?
So the yellow isn't maintained in the people.
No, it isn't.
Okay. Yeah, because there's tagitaha, there's no yellow there, right?
No, it isn't. But I'm saying, but they do even, in the inclinable past participle in the infinitive, they even keep that a. They drop the final they drop that yi, a yi toi, a yi tum, and they keep whatever changes the base has gone through, that the dhatu has gone through to become the base. So, just a little goody tidbit.
That's what I love. I love the tidbits.
Yeah, we collect the tidbits. Okay, good. So, where are we?
Okay.
So it means is beaten or struck. Okay.
Beaten or struck, and by Bhima. And then we have the last. We have there Kichakaha.
Kichaka is the name of a person.
Okay, so that's a male person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's nominative. Kichakaha is nominative, singular, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have Abhumat.
Amuhyat. That's an H with a Y. Amuhyat.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. That's always getting me. Abhumat.
Amuh. That's a Ma, okay?
Right.
Amuhyat.
Amuhyat.
From Mu, to faint.
To faint, okay.
So, Amuhyat.
Okay, and it's in the imperfect, third person singular.
I think Mu is fourth parasmipeda. That's why the yakar there. The root
class
mu.
Four.
Class four.
Okay.
So amuhyat is right. You're in past tense.
Imperfect third.
To pass out or to faint. Right.
Okay. So Kichika was hit by Bhima and fainted.
Well, you try to do it with that taditaha as being adjectival to Kichika. In your translation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kichika hit by Bhima, fainted?
Hit by Bhima on the chest.
On the chest.
Fainted, exactly.
Kichika hit by Bhima on the breast, fainted.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Racy?
I'm sorry, what did you say is adjectival?
Taditaha, the past passive participle, is adjectival to Kichika. And so even though, you know, when you're translating, the way you translate it could be correct, because you have this as the same sense, but I just want to make sure that you...
So you're... Often what we do is we do the literal, and then we do the fluid.
That's what I want. I want you to do the literal, then you're free to do the fluid.
Okay,
but start with
the
literal
first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Literal first. Awkward, literal.
Yeah, but that's really
But
helpful.
That's what we need, yeah.
Look at this one, I don't know again, but Shatrunja Shirasu Praharati. So Shirasu, I think, is the locative plural for Shiras, which is the substantive Shiras, which means head.
Mm-hmm.
And then Praharati, I'm not sure, maybe the pra is a prefix and the ti is a tita anti.
Hre. Prahre means to strike.
Uh-huh.
To hit.
Okay. So then this means Praharati means third person singular fall, strikes. He or she strikes. Oh, so he or she strikes the. So Shatrunj, is that just accusative singular for Shatru, for enemy?
Shatrun.
Plural.
Shatrun.
There's a sandhi there, right?
The clause of Shirasu is also plural.
That's right. But also, what about the nya becoming, the dental nya becoming nya? You see that?
It's yeah.
Shift. Why is that?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out. Is that the, like Rajan and no?
Well, no, you should be able to guess. Why when a sandhi happens, it's because of pronunciation. What type of letter is sha? It's a sibilant, but
right.
what is it? Guttural, palatal, lingual, dental?
Sure, it's palatal.
Palatal.
Right.
What happens when a dental comes together with a palatal?
It goes to palatal.
Mm-hmm.
So
the na goes to nya.
Oh, I see. Sorry. Okay.
Right?
So then it's shatrun, which goes to, shatrun, because
like
of the following sha.
Right.
Goes to... of following palatal. So then he or she strikes the enemy's heads.
He strikes the enemies on their heads. Literally it says, he strikes enemies on heads. Right?
Yes.
But
yes.
You know, in
on the heads, right.
In Sanskrit, they often don't put in the, like, their.
Right.
No. Pronouns. They won't usually put those in, unless it's, sometimes if it's reflexive, they will. But they're not going to say on their heads.
Right.
You have to supply that in English, though. Right.
Sorry. I have a question on this. Are there two forms of a locative plural?
Yeah.
I think they are. I think it's optionally the sarga or sakara.
Is there one that's more common, was my question.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did I see
actually,
the
I don't see either one of them very often in my reading. But the two, but even the regular sandhi is an option. Right.
So the two forms would be shirasu without the double S and with the double S.
Yeah, either the visarga.
Yeah.
Or
the
shirasu.
I don't think so. I think the visarga still takes us the sa sound.
Yes, shiras.
It's going to. No, I believe. So we have to. When I say that, I mean we have to check on it.
Mm-hmm.
But how I learned it was that even though the visarga is there, it's still going in pronunciation get that sa sound. So it's not going to be.
So it's there only in.
In visually,
like
it's shanti, there.
Shanti.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're still going to pronounce it as shirasu.
I see.
Yeah, even though you
so
see the
either
visarga.
Way.
Either
okay.
way.
That's useful.
Oh, yeah, that would be odd.
Yeah.
Shirahasu.
That's what
yeah.
I thought.
No,
yeah.
No, I don't have the sakar sound. Okay, everybody on this one? Okay. Okay, next one.
Manasa harim vrajati.
Vrajati.
Vrajati. Manasa is the neuter instrumental. Through, by, with, could be heart or mind.
Mm-hmm.
Harim is the accusative masculine singular of Hari.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vrajati is the present singular third person for goes, or I kind of translate it as it reaches.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought one reaches God through the heart.
That's nice. There's one thing that's nice in Kambu, Hariya, or God. One thing I want to just try to do this as an option whenever that possibility is there is to use so often an instrumental, ablative, or accusative singular particularly will be used adverbially. So you could say, he goes to Hari, he reaches Hari mentally.
Okay, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
It's
instrumental, ablative?
Just so that you know, so that that option is always in your head because it comes up so much. It's often, the most commonly used would be the accusative or instrumental singular, but also the ablative singular. We'll take a noun or adjective and use it instrumentally. Use it as an adverb. So, say if I say, he goes to Hari by his mind.
Mm.
You could say, he goes to Hari mentally. If you wanted that. If you wanted that, if that was a good translation for you. I just want you to have the option to the freedom in your mind to think adverb.
Mm-hmm.
We don't usually think about it, that's why. In translation, and you can really get kind of stymied sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be very clunky.
Yeah. Everybody see the sentence? Find it? Okay. Let's go to the next one.
Okay. Tapasam palam manu bhavatu. Manu bhavatu.
Palam.
Palam. Ah, yes. Okay. Palam anu bhavatu.
Good.
So the first word is tapas, which is a neuter noun, is that correct?
Yep.
And it is declined. Is it the Shashti plural? Mm-hmm. How do you say plural in Sanskrit?
Bhagavachanam.
Bhagavachanam.
It is. Good, good.
Okay. So. And tapas is austerities.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have palam, which is fruit. And pala, I think, is also a neuter noun, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's either accusative or nominative singular.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit. And then we have anu. With bu, bhavatu. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. And I don't remember what anu.
Anu bu, this is a good Vedantic term. Anu bu means to experience.
Experience.
To experience.
Not go after.
No, it actually means to experience, and we use it all of the time. I don't know if there's some sense. Anu gacchati can mean to follow after. You know, with gach, anu with gach means to follow, to imitate.
Is the ku with the small u or
long u? Long u, but anubhavati or anubhavatu in this case.
It's experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
experience or enjoyment. And Vedanta we usually say is just experience.
Anubhav.
Yeah, anubhava or anubhav. Yeah, anubhav. Yeah.
And I'm not recognizing
the two?
Yeah. The two.
Well, you have a choice. Present tense, past tense, imperative, and not potential, because that comes in the next lesson.
Is it imperative?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the joy of guessing. You kind of rule out, it doesn't look like it's imperfect.
And is it second person?
No.
No, okay. I'll be guessing. Well, is it first person?
No. But let me give you a hint. You see the T in there?
Uh-huh.
If you look at all of the third person singulars in Parismaipada, they all have T's. Mm-hmm. Anubhavati. Anubhavate. Anubhavatu.
Okay.
Right? So there are similarities. Like if you were to line them all up, mm-hmm. even though they're different, there's a like there's an underlying structure pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So two is the imperative singular. The third person singular.
Okay.
Imperative.
Okay. So it's the imperative third person singular. So well, let's see. So I'm going to say that the palam must be nominative. No, it's not. It's accusative.
It's
I don't know.
Think of pala. This is also in Vedanta, like karma pala, the fruit of your actions in the sense of result.
Okay.
So here, tapasam palam.
Okay. So the result of your experience the result of your austerities.
Yeah,
or
may
your practice.
May he or
may
she.
He,
may
okay.
one experience.
May one, yeah.
Okay.
Experience the fruit of their practice, of their spiritual
okay.
practices. Yeah. But remember, fruit
the
is
result.
Not just a fruit on the tree,
right?
Right,
right, right.
And in English, we use it that way also.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So may one or he or she experience
the fruit or result of the,
mm-hmm.
of the spiritual practices.
Spiritual yeah. practice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay. Duruvasaha Pandavanam Vasatim Agachat. So the only sandhi is Vasatim and then Agachat for the last one. So Duruvasaha is nominative singular for Durvasa, Durvasa Rishi.
For Duruvasas.
Oh, it's not Durvasa Rishi, it's not the name, Durvasa?
It is the name, but the name of the Rishi is Durvasas. That's what, look at what you've got there, Durvasaha.
Yeah,
there's one. Like Chandramaha.
Yeah, Durvasas is the substantive.
Yeah. That's also important to note. That can be so confusing, right? You have to remember that these, you know, some like Chandramas, some of these nouns that end in us, like
yeah.
Chandramas,
yeah.
become aha
right.
in the in the masculine. Chandramas, Chandramaha, Durvasas, Durvasaha.
Durvasaha. So I was thinking it's actually Durvasa is the name, so I was thinking it's nominative singular from Durvasa.
But that would
but
be
that's
plural.
Not the case.
Ramaha, Ramal, Ramaha. It would be many Durvasas.
Right. Right.
So it's right. Durvasas.
So. Durvasas, so that's the nominative singular of Durvasas.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pandava Naam is a genitive plural for Pandava. And then Vasatim. Vasatim is the accusative singular of Vasati,
mm-hmm.
living, a dwelling.
Most of the T endings are all feminine, Vasati.
Okay.
So Vasatim, the residence or dwelling place.
And then Agachat is past tense, because the and then so it's past tense, third person singular. So it means that Durvasa went.
Durvasas.
Durvasas went to the Pandavas' dwelling.
Yeah. Five Pandavas.
Right.
Did I see it?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I wanted to just back up to something that you said, because it sounded like another tidbit.
Yeah.
So did I hear you say that substantives ending in T
are usually
are more often feminine? That's a very nice...
That's very nice to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Bhuyang Sutra Namyasya Rashayo Vartante. So the Sundays here would be Bhuyang Saha Atra. Is the nominative masculine plural of the yas ending. And it would be used adjectivally. Well, it is an adjective, it's a comparative adjective. And here it would be very great. And it's modifying heaps. Rashayu, yuha. Also nominative masculine plural.
Right.
And for Rashi. Rashi is a substantive, so that would be the nominative masculine plural. Dhanyasya is Dhanyasya. Is the Shashti Bahu Vachana, the genitive plural.
Is it singular?
Sya. Sya. Did I say plural?
Yeah.
No, I meant singular.
Yeah.
Of corn. Corn. And then Atra is a locative adverb, meaning here,
mm-hmm.
which is breaking that sandhi. And then Vartante is third person plural atmanekara. Basically, I use are found. I don't know if that's permissible. So I said huge piles of corn are here or are found.
You could say that, but you're adding something unnecessarily. Okay. You could say there are huge piles of
corn here.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can I ask, what is the vartante? What is the substantive then? Is it vrit?
Vrit. Atmanepada. Takes guna. One A. Good. Bhuyas is the project of the...
Ready for the next one?
Yeah, everybody okay with this? Mm. Yeah? You okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's do the next one.
Ramo Rakshamsi Hatva Yasho Indata. Okay, so we have Ramo would be Ramaha, is that correct? Mm-hmm. Ramaha, which would be what does Rama mean? Is that the name?
Rama.
Okay. The first is okay. Rama. Okay. So that would be nominative singular, masculine singular. And Raksha, this looks like Rakshasa. So demons, is that what that second word is?
From Rakshas.
Rakshas.
Rakshamsi.
Rakshamsi, which is, I'll figure out what the declension is. Rakshamsi. Is that locative?
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Rakshas.
Rakshas.
It happens to be a neuter noun.
Oh, it's neuter. Okay.
To remember, the neuter is strengthened. When we talked about that yesterday. Even though it's a non-changing stem, the neuter actually strengthens in the...
So that's... Is it nominative plural? Okay. Could be nominative.
Or could be accusative.
Okay. All right. Because it's neuter. And then hatva, is that a gerund?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that, I don't know what the verb is.
It's from hun, to kill.
To kill, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's a gerund. And then we have Yasho, which is Yashaha. Oh, I know we just had this word, and I can't remember what it is.
Yashas. Mm-hmm. Yashas means fame.
Fame, that's right. Okay. And is that nominative?
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the verb?
The verb is avindata. That is imperfect. Is it Atmanepada?
Yeah, it is.
Perfect. Is it third person? Mm-hmm. Imperfect Atmanepada? No.
Yes.
Singular. It's singular.
Singular.
That's
what I'm
looking for. Okay. Okay, so singular. So Yashaha would be modifying Rama. He's famous for killing. No.
What is avindata? Vind means it means to obtain, to gain.
Okay. I'm sorry. What is the
avindata means?
But the substantive there is
vind. To gain, to obtain. In the sixth parasmaipada. In the sixth apanapada.
So Rama is gaining something.
That's right.
He is gaining fame.
Yeah.
After killing the demons. Is that right?
Yeah, you could say like having
killed demons. Rama is famous. Acquired fame.
Gains fame.
So are those appositional?
No. Rama, because Rama gains as an object fame.
Okay. So right. Then this is accusative.
That's right. It's accusative. Neuter. These ascending nouns are mostly neuter.
Yeah.
Is Yashas neuter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Yashas. And also, you remember, in two and three stem nouns, the strong stem for the neuter is the nominative and accusative plural, where the strong stem for the masculine is the first five inflections.
Right. Yeah.
For the neuter, it's the nominative and accusative plural. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it will go along.
So I was just sort of reflecting on this, in fact, just yesterday, or actually for a little while now, that. So I was trying to come up with an overall structure for these non-changing, two-changing, three-changing.
Right.
And I realized that while it's useful to classify, because mainly it's true, the us, is, and us as non-changing, the neuters really do have a strong stem.
They do. They're the plurals of the nominative and accusative are the strong stem.
So they become the exception within the non-changing stem group.
No. If there's a non-changing stem group, it's changing, non-changing for the neuters also. It's only if there's a changing stem group, then the neuters will have, the neuter form will have changing as well as the masculine.
But if you look at Chandramas.
Yeah.
That's considered a non-changing stem. It's classified as a non-changing stem.
No, is that?
It's one stem.
It's one stem.
Right.
Yeah.
But it does have a semi, the first fiber.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see.
So the first fiber not strong.
That's
so
right.
So it's not, but the neuter does change.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, and then also jagat, you know, that's a dental ending, and it's not a vut mut, it's ut. So it's not but
oh,
much.
I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've been doing a lot of thinking on this, trying to get this in my head. And so, you know, in a sense, the neuters are never one stem. They're always strengthened in 1, 2, and 8.
So there's no neuter single stem, you're saying? There's single stem neuter.
That's right, because it's always strengthened in the
plural
of 1, 2, and 8.
Yeah.
Even when it's part of the non-changing stem paradigms.
How,
so the masculine and feminines are all non-changing, but it seems to me that that you never have a neuter that doesn't strengthen in those declensions. I mean, am I wrong, Carol?
I'm not listening to you because
let me ask you though, how does one classify a neuter to be part of a particular stem structure? How does one classify?
Well, if you're grouping them, so if you're looking at the us, is, and
substantives,
most of those are neuter, as it turns out, but there are masculine and feminine stems in us and is.
Wait, but the us and Indian ones are
two or three.
No, like Vidvas and Shreyas are two stems. Right?
Oh, that's yas and yas. Yas
oh,
is
but
different
none of
than
the
us.
Us. All the ascending masculine
stems. Us,
is,
and us.
Yeah. I see.
You know, I really know what you're talking about, but I don't know exactly the answer. I've certainly seen the problem. I'm going to read through this, and I'll read through this. You know, he does a pretty good job. Have you read this? Of classifying and what goes into what? One thing that I think we're probably going to find out is that in the neuter, even in the vowel ending stems, there's always an exception in the neuter for the plural. And often for the dual also, where once something will become long or something will be inserted. So those are viewed as exceptions, even in
Palampale Palani,
but that's not a good.
Once again, it's elongated. There's an elongation there.
Yeah, and for the re ending also.
The re ending too.
So I'm very used to seeing like exceptions or something is lengthened or nasal is added or something. Is happening there, but now we're looking at the consonant endings, which usually are more orderly.
And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the sort of orderly.
It's very orderly
idea
concept.
that the neuter, even in the endings that are supposedly
one stem
endings, will still strengthen in those classes.
Yeah. I'm seeing it too. I just want to read more so that I.
That's
know
really
how
good.
They're dealing with
I
it.
Love those kind
yeah.
of coming up with
yeah.
the...
That's
you know,
what I'm trying
like,
to do. I've been
yeah,
sitting
yeah.
and trying to figure out...
Right. A pattern.
You know,
yeah.
Where
yeah.
does the nominative masculine singular, where does it stay in stem form? Where
yeah.
does it go to the allowable final? Where does it lengthen?
Right.
And if you can kind of wrap your
right.
heads around those, then everything else falls into place.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to play
yeah.
with right now.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I might as well keep you up.
No, go ahead. Yeah. No, I mean, I like all this too.
In the paradigms that I'm looking at that end in talavya or mordanya consonants, like vach or sraj, I'm not finding, or at least I haven't, I can't say I've done an extensive search, any neuter paradigms that end in those consonants. So the only one that I've really noticed is for the one stem, non-changing stems, because those are all non-changing stems. I haven't noticed any to see whether that those neuters would follow the same idea of stem.
What about jagat?
Jagat is the ta ending, and that is, I have found that, and that does follow the strengthening. It does.
But you haven't found it in ones that end in cha or sha.
Sure.
We should look in this book.
Yeah.
And also, do you have Goldman's book?
I do.
You do?
I do have Goldman's
book. Do you have a Goldman's?
Not yet.
It's a good book. Do you have it, Goldman's?
I don't have anything but this book.
This is really a good book.
Really a good book.
And I was going to point out, if you don't have it, maybe I could copy for you. For next week, there's a really good section on tadita affixes, secondary affixes that go on to nouns. And they're talking about... I'm particularly interested for next week in abstract endings of ta, tuam, and ya, because he's starting to use those, and I want to be able to point those out to you in the rule. But it's in chapter 20, I think. Chapter 20.
So I'll be aware, but I'll definitely look at that. Okay. And those are very useful in Vedanta also.
Very useful. So I want to go over some of those affixes.
So that's chapter 20?
I think it's 20.
I could order that on Amazon, you think?
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah. It's a good book to have.
You may be able to get it at the Berkeley bookstore because Goldman teaches at Berkeley.
That's right. You probably
teach it at Berkeley.
Yeah.
That's their book.
Wow.
So sometimes they'll have it used at the Berkeley bookstore.
Oh, really? Oh, at the Berkeley bookstore?
Uh-huh.
At the, you mean the college
store?
Yeah. College store? Okay.
On Bank Road.
You should call them first to see if they have it in, but next. So you're saying chapter 20.
Yeah, okay. They have a lot of different affixes here that are really, really useful. Yeah, page 358. We have 358 and 359. They have some. And the ta and ta, they discuss also. Yeah, 354, 355, chapter 20. Okay, let's go on.
Where are we? So let me think what my other. So where I went wrong on this, I just want to follow this up.
Yeah.
Is for some reason when I look this up, rather than coming up with gains or obtains.
Where? For Bart?
Where? No, for.
I see. We're down there now.
I'm still on this one.
Yeah.
I came up with something that had more the sense of is or becomes.
Well, that's all right.
But then here's the problem. If you take it as is, then it would take the predicate nominative, then fame.
Yeah, but let me explain something about vid.
Okay.
The root vid has three or four different gunas, and it has different meanings in each guna.
So this requires a little note here.
Yeah. In the second guna, vid becomes veti, becomes to know. In the sixth guna, it takes that nasal and becomes obtains, to obtain, to gain. And then in one of the gunas, fourth guna, I think it means to be. So, I hope I haven't got these. I know that about the sixth and the fourth. I mean, so anyway, vid has meanings, very different meanings in the different gunas. And it's really important in Vedanta to recognize those different forms.
To know and to gain is very
Yeah, it's a little different, right? Yeah. So let me just tell you accurately here. My mind kind of does it more unconsciously at this point. Vid, in the second Parasmaipada, to know, understand, learn, find out. feel, to experience, all things that have to do with knowing. In the fourth Atmanepada, to be, to exist, to happen, occur, take place. Okay? It's like us.
Like us, yeah.
Yeah. Then, or in the sixth Ubayapada, to get, obtain, acquire, gain. In the sixth, it takes the nasal, which a lot of, there's a whole set of roots in the sixth gana that take a nasal. So vid becomes vind. Okay? So those are the three that I'm familiar with.
Okay, so that's the tip off here is the nasal.
Yeah.
Well, that would be why it would be obtained rather than
that's
used.
Right. That's right. And, that's right. And, but also, the second would be veti, double ta.
Uh-huh.
The second gana. The fourth gana would be fourth atmanepada, vidyate, fourth
uh-huh.
gana. Uh-huh. Right?
So you know it's going to be from the form, but it's
you know from the form. That's right.
So you know from the form which one it is.
Yeah.
So much to know.
Vedanta, that one, that root comes a lot. So.
No, that's very good.
Yeah. So here, you know by the nasal, it means to get or obtain. Okay, six gana.
Okay. No, I think it's... Well, who did this one? Yeah,
I did
that's you.
One.
All right.
So long ago.
Ganga yaha payamsi shvetan iti shruyate.
Well, break that sandhi again.
The only sandhi is shvetan iti.
How do you like
is
it?
That shvetan?
Huh?
No. I don't know what.
Shvetani iti.
Ah, shvetani. Okay, that makes sense. Yes, because it's a long e. Shvetani iti. So Ganga yaha is the substantive, is the feminine Ganga. So Ganga yaha is either the ablative or genitive singular. And then payamsi is from the substantive payas, which means water. It's either the nominative or accusative plural of payamsi, because it's neuter, payas is neuter, that's why. And then shvetani, is that like palampale padani? From shweta, which means white. So it's a plural. It's either nominative or accusative plural. And then iti, as though. Then shruyate, is that from... Shruyate looks like is that te thing? So is that passive third singular? Shruyate?
It comes from shre, to hear.
Shre, just shre.
But there's a little technique, so it really means shruyate is in the passive, right?
Right.
But... One little tidbit to understand is when they say shruyate in reference to the shruti in Vedanta,
mm-hmm.
it means the shruti says shruyate, it is heard, you know. If they say it is heard, what it means is the shruti is saying. The shruti, the Upanishad says, the Vedas say. But we will say, they'll say it is heard. Like even shruti, the shruti,
yeah.
it
yeah.
means that which is heard.
Right.
Right. Right. And so when they say shruyate, say if you have a sentence they're referring to what the Vedas are saying this, but
yeah.
they'll do a quote and they'll say shruyate. And that really means it is told by the Vedas. But literally it is heard.
Yeah.
You know when they say shravanam? We do shravanam?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So this would be it is heard that the waters of the Ganga are as though white.
Are white, not as though.
Are white. Iti, I just thought iti was...
No, actually, you translated unconsciously iti correctly, and I think that has to be pointed out. In Sanskrit, there's no indirect speech. So, if you say it is heard, then you have to put in quotes exactly what is heard. But in English, like, it is heard.
Oh.
You said, it is heard, quotes, the waters of the Ganga are white. But we often in translation, if there's an iti there, we'll change it into indirect speech by using that. We heard that the waters of the Ganga are white. That is indirect, right? So, like, for instance, in, just to make up another sentence, if we said, the king said, you know, last year the king said, there is a drought. You have to hear exactly what he said.
Mm-hmm.
There is a drought. Okay. In English and in transitive, you would say, last year the king said that there was a drought. Right? So you have to go back to the voice of whatever the time is that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the king said there last year, there is a drought. It has to be exactly what he said. Maybe he said there will be a drought, you know?
Yeah.
But when you translate that into indirect speech, then you have to use the proper tense. And you use usually the word that to convert iti into indirect speech. Is that clear for everybody? I don't think we'd say, depending on context, we wouldn't say, the waters of the Ganga are white, thus it is heard.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay,
let's do the next one.
Bahuni avimshad now prasyati. I'm converting to the makar.
Okay.
When in Rome.
Yeah.
Okay. So bahuni is the neuter accusative plural of bahu, many. And then
anybody allergic?
No.
The name we use is Tibby, though he goes on being...
Tibby?
That was his name last year. People rename him. I think that would be... he's kind of a community cat.
Oh, okay. So, the next Sunday is Havim Shim and Agna. So, it's the neuter accusative plural of offerings, plus the locative masculine singular of Agni.
Mm-hmm.
In the fire. And then prasyati is the
prasyati.
Pardon?
Pras.
Oh, I thought I said that. But
oh, sorry.
Prasyati. No, no. You,
I heard
what I think and what you hear are often different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's useful to record. I haven't had the nerve to do it. So that's a third person singular present in the fourth. With the kind of pursuant to our last conversation. So he, she, it could be the priest throws many offerings in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Everybody see that? Any problems? Fourth verse, my for the root with pra.
I don't understand when you, maybe I don't know this, but the fourth part is my for the root. Is that something we've learned?
Well, when you... when you do the process of deriving the stem from the dhatu, the fourth keeps the dhatu and adds an e. So when you see these yas, you could suspect that it's the fourth conjugation of the tenth. That's why it's, when we went through that process, you know, of does it get guna? You know, the first, when the medial vowel takes guna, so when you see bo, we could suspect that the actual dhatu is blue. And so one of the markers for the fourth class is it takes the dhatu as the ya, and then of course the and then the affix a for the, it's one of the four thematic.
Okay.
But each of those four thematics have slightly different rules, 1, 4, 6, and 10. 6 doesn't do anything. It's either fourth adds the 6 doesn't add anything.
Okay.
And then 10 adds ayah.
Okay.
And 1 is the one we do with all the time. It takes a guna.
Okay.
the medial vowel.
Right.
Or the terminal molar vowel. Right. So when I saw this, the first part's going to be
okay.
After that.
Well, that last mess, it looks very scary. The first thing, okay. Nagrasya samipe hasti vrata jasain yapashyam. So I didn't break any sense.
There's also a mistake.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Okay. Where's the mistake?
Should be testi vad.
Testi vad and then raja.
Testi vad raja. What do you guys have? Something else? Testi vad?
It's rada.
It's the the rafa is on the, it changes the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. It should be testi vad.
I tell you, if you hadn't given me this, I'd be an insane person by now. I mean, more insane.
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
So it's testi vad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, testi vad raja sainyam. That's awful.
Oh.
Yeah. Testi vad raja sainyam apashyam.
Raja, oh my gosh. Okay.
And all it's right. Also
sainyam apashyam.
Yam apashyam.
Sainyam
apashyam.
No, I
right.
Don't. Okay,
oh my
gosh,
that is really.
Okay, well, that second one is a typo. So use the book. Here, use my book.
Well, I have the book right here.
Yeah, but the book's wrong.
The book's
so
wrong.
So use, okay. It's up on that page. It's exactly in the same place, but use that book.
That's disturbing. It's way too many typos.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know.
Okay. So, the first word, nagarasya, nagara, is that?
City.
City, that's right. And that's in the genitive singular.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's city. And then the next word, I think, is near.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or in the vicinity, so, and it's locative singular.
Mm-hmm.
And then
good luck.
Good luck. Okay, so we have tusti vad.
Tusti vad. Don't come here.
And then okay, so tusti vad is a word.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know what that means. Tusti vad. And the next word is raja, or rajas.
They made it a compound, raja sainyam. It means the army of the king. Sainyam is army. So raja sainyam. In this book, you'll see sometimes they have compounds, and then they'll just, somewhere in here, they'll give you the whole compound. I'm looking for it.
Okay. So
this one, you had to, I think, go to the index. I don't think they had it in the vocabulary.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. So it's probably in the index then.
Mm-hmm. I actually had to go to another source because it gave Sena for army and it gave Sainika for soldier. So I figured but they didn't. So I just checked it out in a dictionary whether Sainya was army.
Because Sena also is army.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see it here.
So basically we have Rajasainya is army of the king.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Okay.
And it's
Sainya.
Sainya.
Let me just make a note of this. Army of the king. And then that leaves Apashyam. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's an imperfect. It's in the imperfect.
Good.
And it.
Do you know which one it is?
I'm trying to figure that out.
What happens? Where do you see ma the most? Where do I think about it?
Yeah. In a conjugation.
Sima is first person singular.
Mm-hmm.
We see it in second person dual.
But then it'll always have stuff on the end, you know.
It'll all
mahe, mahe, vahe, that type of thing. Mahe, mahi.
Uh-huh.
But me, like a chami.
So it's first person?
Okay. First person singular. Apashem, okay. Or pashami, apashem.
Yeah. Okay.
So ways of having educated guesses.
Yes.
So, and I don't remember what this verb means.
Drish push to see.
Drish, oh, to see. Okay. So, I see the army of the king near the city.
And Testivud. Testivud is reduplicative perfect participle, Testivud, but it's in the neuter. And it just means seated, placed. We wouldn't say seated. We don't say the army is seated. We'd say the army is just placed or.
Okay.
It's been congregated.
Reduplicated perfect?
Reduplicated, let's see, what's the actual name of that?
It's
like a reduplicated perfect participle.
Perfect participle,
yeah.
Now, could it be, because I looked it up, and standing was another, sitting and standing, I took it to mean the standing army of the king, you know, congregated, the ready army of the king.
Yeah, I think that would be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's
it depends on how you break this. And it's like you say, like in the vicinity of the, near the city, the standing army of the king, I saw the army of the king, which was, to me it means it was gathered there. So, how would you want to say that in English?
Okay, so like, I saw the army of the king gathered near the city.
That would be good.
Yeah.
It has the sense of being seated, positioned there, right?
Yeah.
That's where the root sta.
Right.
Sta means to stand.
Yeah.
So maybe that's
sta.
What it means, standing.
Sta.
Yeah. Standing or placed. Or.
And then the stivak is...
It's reduplicated. It's a sta tisht. You know, sta, to stand, becomes tishtati, and the sta, so that's just an unusual form.
I guess how is tastivat related to tastivas? Tastivas is the...
Tastivat is a neuter nominative singular.
Right, okay. Is it neuter or is it... I had it as accusative. I saw...
Tastivat? Oh, yeah. Sorry, neuter, I said nominative, you're right.
Okay.
I was... My mind's on the neuter part.
So it'd be testy, but because of the ra,
which is soft,
you get the voicing to testy, but.
Right.
That's the funny one that puts the ta in. You told us once to watch out for this, to flag
it. Yeah, for the testy, but, yeah.
Because you get testy, but in the nominative neuter.
That's right. For this one.
Yeah.
And neuter, So nominative and accusative are the same. Yeah.
Right, that has it, I think, in the book. Okay, so I haven't done any sentences after this.
Does everybody see this, though? So we're clear on that one. We're going to do one more sentence. Do you want to try it?
I'll try it. Suryasya Vejasa Santaptaha we are able to break this. Pantash Chayam
Ashrita. You need it for this sentence because it's all wrong.
So the only sentence is in the last one, and I think that I don't know what the first word is. Pantash.
Pantaha. Pantaha is
Pantaha.
A traveler.
Oh, the traveler. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Chayam Ashrita. Okay. Suryasya will be the genitive singular for Surya, of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Tejasa is from Tejas, maybe instrumental singular from Tejas.
Yep.
And Santaptaha, is that from Santapta? Is that Santapta is maybe past prophet?
Good. From Santap.
So that would be the nominative singular for, and what does that mean?
Burned.
Oppressed by heat.
Yeah, oppressed, burned, overwhelmed, hot.
Okay.
Fried. And Vantaha is traveler, so that will be nominative singular. Chayam maybe is, Chaya is feminine maybe, so Chayam would be accusative singular.
Good.
Or Chaya.
And Chaya means?
Chaya, shade.
Good.
And Ashrite is, I think that's resting.
To rest or take refuge, you know, to resort to rest, to take refuge
Ashya,
in it.
Yeah. But, and then the form is Vedente, so it's third singular passive?
No, it's not passive.
No, oh, it's just
he rests. Yeah, Abhinita.
You saw the which makes you think about passive.
That's right.
Yeah,
the passive bill. Right.
So this is really active, touching on. Oh, so the traveler being... Okay, let me say this properly. So the traveler, the idea of the traveler is resting in the shade, being burnt by the heat of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah, the traveler, Santepta, has scorched by the heat of the sun.
Right.
Takes refuge under the shade of the tree, and the shade of the tree, resorts to, or rests under the shade of the tree.
Yeah.
The Ashri, that's with R-E, Ashri. Then one Atmanepara.
Goes to the Ia.
E becomes A.
Yeah.
A plus the A, Aya.
Okay.
That process, I could, when I come back.
To review
so
that.
I'd like to review.
We can go over how all the gunas are formed.
That would be wonderful. You could hold off on that. That would
okay.
be wonderful.
Okay, remind me, because everybody could probably make use of them. We'll just put them on the board.
Yeah, that would be just great.
All right, folks.
Because I can memorize the conjugational endings, but to be able to understand why they go to that ending.
You know, once that's explained, you won't forget. It's really simple.
Exactly.
It just has to be...
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at what we're going to do for next class. We'll do these remaining sentences, and then we'll do the sentences on page 122 and 123, if we get that far. At least we get 122. Maybe we'll be able to do more. And you can review the potential case, and maybe you can use Antoine as well as what Bhandarkar says on it, on 119. Purnamidam, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Vashishate, Om Shanti, 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 Hari Om, Shri Guru Pyo Namaha, Hari Om.